For a moment, Leo's expression was completely vulnerable, before it closed off. She let go and stepped past Holly.
I'm fine, I just need some fresh air.
When she reached the stairs, she turned back around.
Wanna come?
I wish I could, Holly said, and found that it was the truth. After their conversation in the kitchen last night, she had a feeling they really could talk to each other. But I'm working right now. She pointed downstairs to where Gil's room was.
Oh, yeah, of course. See you later, then.
Leo bolted down the stairs. Holly leaned on the banister and stared at her back. When the front door closed behind Leo, she put the baby monitor back on her nightstand and went to get Gil ready for his appointment with the speech therapist. The walk had helped clear Leo's head, and a stop at Slice of Heaven for two apricot orange cream scones had improved her mood considerably. She had eaten hers on the way home, and now she was holding on to the paper bag with the other like a hunter proudly carrying home her prey. As she stepped into the house, Holly's voice came from her father's room. It dampened her mood a little, since it meant she couldn't hand over the scone right now. Then she realized that Holly wasn't talking to her father. She was singing.
If you can call it that. Sounds more like a cat that had its tail stepped on.
Leo winced a little at the off-key singing, but mainly she found it adorable. What Holly lacked in musicality, she made up for in enthusiasm. She smiled and kept listening as she slowly climbed the stairs. It took her until she was halfway up to recognize the song.
Hey, that's one of mine.
In fact, it was Odd One Out, the song she had played just this morning. Holly seemed to know the lyrics by heart. Leo grinned and hummed along. When she reached the top of the stairs, she could still hear Holly singing, this time not directly, but through the baby monitor on Holly's nightstand. She stood in front of the open door to Holly's room for a moment, listening. God, how she enjoyed the irony that her father, who had criticized her piano playing, now had to listen to Holly singing one of her songs. Her grin faltered as another realization hit her. If she could hear Holly through the baby monitor, Holly had probably heard every single word she had said to her father earlier, too.
God damn it, she could have warned me.
Her fingers tightened around the paper bag. Instead of warning her, Holly had pretended she hadn't heard a thing. It was like being spied on in her own home, the one place on Earth where she thought she was free of the tabloids and fans constantly observing her.
Great. And I even brought home a scone for her.
Now she felt like a fool. She hurled the paper bag through the open door. It landed on the bed, but it didn't feel satisfying at all. With a growl, she went to her room and shut the door behind her. After only a minute or two, a knock sounded. It was probably her mother, demanding to know where she'd been and why she had missed lunch.
Yeah.
The door swung open. Instead of her mother, Holly peeked into the room, a broad grin on her face and the paper bag in her hand. Is it from you?
What, you think it was a scone fairy?
It could have been a funny remark, but Leo's anger gave it a sharp edge. A frown replaced Holly's smile. She pushed the door open more fully and entered. Is everything okay? You sound kind of, I don't know, angry with me. Did I do something wrong? Holly had gone even paler than usual, and her clear blue eyes were squinting at Leo in confusion.
Boy, she's good.
Possibly even better than Leo's latest ex, who had lying and manipulating down to an art. She had managed to look affronted even when Leo had caught her stealing money from her.
I thought you were different. Not one of the lying, scheming people who do anything to get into my good graces and think nothing of violating my privacy for the right price.
Holly blinked several times. Violating your privacy?
Oh, come on.
Heat bubbled up inside of her at the faux innocent expression on Holly's face. Did Holly really think she was that stupid?
Don't pretend you didn't hear every single word I said to my father through your little spy instrument.
You think I'm spying on you?
Holly's voice ended in an incredulous squeak.
God, she was almost convincing.
Leo found herself wanting to believe her, but she tamped down on the impulse. She'd been stupid like that before, and it had never ended well.
How else would you have known I was upset when I got back upstairs earlier?
Maybe because you were banging your door like a sulking teenager? Exactly like you're behaving right now, making stupid accusations.
They faced each other in a silent stare down. Holly didn't give an inch. Her blue eyes, usually twinkling with good humor, now looked like arctic ice. Leo, used to flatterers and yay-sayers, couldn't help respecting her for not backing down.
My word might not mean much to you, but I promise I didn't listen in on your conversation, Holly said. As soon as I realized the two of you were talking, I turned down the volume so I couldn't hear you anymore.
Over the past 14 years, Leo had learned not to trust blindly. People had made promises and had sworn to tell the truth while lying through their teeth too many times. But somehow she believed Holly. She wanted to believe her, no matter how foolish it might be. When Leo didn't answer, Holly walked out and closed the door behind her, pointedly not banging it, but closing it in a civilized manner. Leo winced. Message received. She really hadn't been on her best behavior today. Holly's footsteps faded away while Leo wrestled with herself. Maybe she should just let it go. It didn't matter if she had wrongly accused Holly, right? At some point, Holly would end up betraying her in some way. But another part of her didn't want to believe that. With a curse, she jumped off the bed, raced across the room, and tore open the door.
Holly, wait!
Holly had reached her room and opened the door. Now she turned and looked at her with a wary expression.
Wait, please, Leo said more softly. I need to...
It was hard to get out the word, partly because it had been a long time since she'd had to say it.
Apologize.
Holly's tense stance loosened.
I really didn't listen in on your conversation.
I believe you,
Leo said. And she did. What a weird feeling. It felt like standing on a shaky footbridge over a deep canyon.
I just... Knowing you could have listened in without me realizing... It made me feel very vulnerable. And that's why I behaved so...
Like an ass?
Holly supplied. Leo winced.
You're not cutting me any slack, are you?
Why should I? Because you're Jenna Blake?
No. I don't want to be Jenna Blake.
She considered that statement for a moment. There was more truth to it than she wanted to acknowledge.
Well, at least not here. That's the one good thing about Fair Oaks. I get to be just Leontine here.
All right, Leontine Blake. I accept your apology.
Holly cracked a smile, and the humorous twinkle was back in her eyes.
Considering you brought me a scone. Or did you poison it?
Well, we could share it, just to make sure,
Leo said.
I'll eat half, and if I don't fall over in mortal agony, you'll know it's safe.
Holly clutched the paper bag to her chest.
Oh, no, you don't get my scone. I bet you had one already.
For a moment, Leo stared. Did Holly really know her that well already?
Okay, okay. You can have it all.
You could keep me company while I eat.
Holly waved the paper bag in the direction of her room.
Maybe tell me what's going on between your father and you.
I need more than half a scone for that conversation,
Leo muttered. Holly playfully held the bag with the scone out of reach.
I thought we established that you're not getting any of my scone.
What kind of friend are you to deny me in my hour of need?
Friend. The word seemed to echo between them. It was a little too soon to call them that, but Leo realized that it was what she wanted. She hadn't had a true friend in forever, someone who appreciated her for herself, not for her fame, her money, or her body, and she had a feeling Holly could be that kind of friend. Finally, Holly shrugged.
A hungry one?
All right. You eat. I'll tell you the sad story of my life.
She followed Holly into the guest room. It had changed since Leo had last lived in the house.
The four-poster bed and the sunflower wallpaper of the past had been replaced with more modern furniture and cream-colored walls. Either Holly had left her personal touch on the room, or her parents had renovated it to make her feel welcome. They sat on opposite ends of the bed. Holly pulled the scone out of its bag and tore off a piece for Leo. Their fingers brushed as she handed it over. Leo had always thought that tingly feeling at the touch of hands was a thing that only happened in sappy romance novels. Well, apparently she was wrong about many things today. But Holly bit into her scone as if she hadn't noticed, so Leo ignored it too. No sense in ruining a new friendship before it even got started.
So? Holly asked around a mouthful of scone. Want to tell me what happened with your father this morning?
Nothing out of the ordinary. I played the piano. He didn't approve. Holly licked a crumb from the corner of her mouth, and Leo had to look away. Man, being friends with Holly would be so much easier if she didn't look so sexy while eating.
What's not to approve of? Holly asked. I heard it. It was beautiful.
The praise tasted sweeter than the scone. It was almost enough to make her forget her father's reaction.
And my father doesn't think so. He's convinced that I'm wasting my life and my God-given talent, his words, not mine, by focusing on pop music.
Maybe it's a generational thing. My mother doesn't like the music I listen to or the movies I watch either.
I think it's a little more than that with my father. He never approved of a single thing I did. Short of being accepted at Juilliard like he was, nothing I accomplish will ever be good enough for him. After I won my first Grammy and called home to share the good news with him, he told me that my namesake, Leontine Price, had won 19 of them, so one was nothing to be proud of.
Acid burned in the pit of her stomach. After all these years and 2 more Grammys that she hadn't shared with her father, she'd thought she was over it, but that old wound still hurt. Holly stared at her, the last piece of scone seemingly forgotten in her hand. Was she just imagining it, or had Holly's eyes become damp?
You know, Holly said, then had to stop to clear her throat. At the risk of sounding unprofessional again, your father might be a highly gifted musician and a great teacher, but when it comes to you, he's an idiot.
Her bluntness stunned Leo. No one had ever talked about her father like that. She burst out laughing, and the old pain eased.
I agree.
She made a playful grab for the last piece of scone. Holly pulled her hand away and hid it behind her back, but then held it out to Leo.
Are you sure?
Leo asked.
Yeah. You could write me a song in exchange.
A song in exchange for an itty-bitty crumb of scone?
The last itty-bitty crumb of scone, Holly said.
Deal. How about Scone Woman?
She sang it to the melody of Moon River. Holly threw the crumpled-up paper bag at her.
Wider than a mile, she quoted a line of the song. Is that a dig at my, curvy figure?
No.
Leo waggled her eyebrows, which probably looked silly rather than seductive.
I happen to like your curvy figure.
Holly put the last of the scone into her mouth and crunched it happily.
Hey, I thought we had a deal.
I didn't like the payment.
Holly licked her thumb.
Plus, I need all the calories I can get to maintain the curvy figure you like so much.
Was she flirting? But Holly looked entirely oblivious, so it was probably all just in her head. Leo flicked a few crumbs off her thighs.
So you mentioned movies. Which ones do you enjoy?
Later that day, Leo was in the backyard, taking measurements for the new ramp she wanted to have installed, when her mother opened the screen door.
Holly's Jeep isn't starting. Can you give her a ride home? I would do it, but the pie still has another 15 minutes to go before it's done.
Leo put down the tape measure and jogged up the 3 steps to the kitchen.
Sure.
Holly stood on the other side of the breakfast bar.
That's really not necessary. I can walk home and call Travis to take care of the Jeep.
It's no problem. I'm done out there anyway.
Leo grabbed her keys from the counter.
Come on.
Can I drive? Holly asked. Otherwise I'll fall asleep.
Leo shook her head.
Sorry, but the rental car insurance doesn't cover another driver.
She couldn't imagine that anyone could fall asleep on such a short drive anyway.
I don't know why you keep driving the rental and don't just take your father's car, her mother said. It's not like he can drive it anymore.
Dad's old Buick is really not my style, Mom.
It wasn't the real reason she kept her rental car, though. Having the rental car ensured she could leave town any time she wanted. Her mother stood on the porch and watched as they got into the car.
It's the small house across the street from the elementary school, Holly said as she clicked the seatbelt into place.
Leo nodded, started the engine, and drove in the direction of the school. A song on the radio caught her attention for a moment. When it ended, she asked,
So, what's wrong with the Jeep?
No answer came from the passenger seat. Leo glanced to her right. Holly's head leaned back against the headrest. Her eyes were closed and her lips slightly parted. Leo chuckled quietly. So Holly hadn't been joking. She turned down the radio volume and kept glancing at Sleeping Beauty while she navigated the nearly empty streets. When she reached the house across from the elementary school, she parked at the curb and shut off the engine. Holly was still fast asleep.
Boy, she's cute.
Leo almost didn't want to wake her, but what was she supposed to do? Sit next to her in the car all night? Before she could make a decision, Holly sat up and rubbed her eyes. She looked around blearily.
Oh, we're home already. I warned you I would fall asleep.
You did. I just didn't think you were serious.
Oh, yeah. My father used to tease me about it, even though he's probably to blame for my carcolepsy. When I was a baby, I had colic, and the only thing that would calm me was when he was driving me around.
Her smile was wistful and didn't bring out her dimples. Leo grinned.
I bet he's trying the same technique on Ethan's and Zach's kids nowadays.
Holly pressed her lips together.
I wish. He died 5 years ago.
She unbuckled her seatbelt and got out of the car.
Damn.
Leo quickly followed her. With her back to Leo, Holly fumbled for her key in the messenger bag slung across her chest. Leo stepped next to her and put her hand on Holly's arm for a moment.
I'm sorry, Holly, I had no idea.
Holly sighed.
It was a car accident, just a few months after your grandmother died.
She unlocked the front door and entered the house as if wanting to leave the memories behind.
Wanna come in?
Sure.
With a lump in her throat, Leo followed. Now she understood a little better why Holly had been so angry with her about not coming home and not talking to her parents. At least Leo still had both of her parents.
How about I give you the nickel tour? Holly asked.
Sorry, I don't have a nickel.
Leo turned the pockets of her shorts inside out.
Well, it's not worth a nickel anyway. The place is really small.
The living room, with a tiny eating area at one end, opened up into the kitchen, making the house seem larger than it was. The light of the evening sun gleamed off the hardwood floor. Warm colors and comfortable-looking furniture filled the living room, a tan couch, a worn easy chair, a dark red area rug, and a bookshelf crammed full of books and family pictures. A tattered paperback sat next to a half-full bottle of water and a scented candle in a glass jar on the coffee table. An Xbox was hooked up to the flat-screen TV in one corner of the room, while the opposite corner held a stereo. Leo walked over to take a look at Holly's CD rack. Among Etta James, Aretha Franklin, Ella Fitzgerald, Amy Winehouse, and Tina Turner, she discovered three of her own albums.
Does it meet your approval?
Leo glanced back and caught the flicker of a smile on Holly's face.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, you're a woman of great musical taste.
Holly led her upstairs. A queen-sized bed took up most of the space in her bedroom, and a walk-in closet claimed the other wall. The bed was neatly made, a quilt pulled tight over it. The tour ended in the second bedroom, which Holly had set up as an office with a small desk. The entire house was lived in, but neat. A warm, comfortable home,
rather than the luxury show places Leo usually got invited into.
"Nice house. Really cute," Leo said as they went back to the first floor. "Very you."
Oh, damn. She'd basically just called Holly cute.
Is it yours?
If Holly noticed her little slip, she didn't react to it.
"No, I rent."
They paused at the front door.
"Do you need a ride tomorrow morning?"
Leo asked.
"I'd be happy to pick you up."
"No, thanks for the offer, though. My Jeep probably just needs a new battery, but if it's something Travis can't fix, I'll walk. I could use the exercise."
Leo eyed her skeptically. Holly looked just fine to her.
"I don't think you need to lose any weight, but if you want, we could go for a run together sometime."
"A run?"
Leo playfully arched her brows.
"Yeah, unless you don't think you can keep up with me."
Holly snorted and gave her a swat on the arm.
"You wish. Day after tomorrow, right after work. You're on."
They exchanged challenging grins. Then Leo said goodbye and left with a wave. When she got into the car, her gaze fell onto the passenger seat where Holly had taken her little after-work nap. Smiling, she started the car. Chapter 9. Gravel crunched beneath their running shoes as they jogged along the creek that ran through the entire length of Fair Oaks only park. Leo sped up, so she gained the lead on Holly.
"Come on, slowpoke."
"We're not in New York,"
Holly puffed out behind her.
"Slow down and enjoy the scenery."
"Oh, I'm enjoying the scenery a bit too much whenever we're running side by side."
As the sun slowly made its descent toward the horizon, the summer heat receded a little, but it was still hot enough to work up a sweat. The way Holly's damp tank top clung to her had caused Leo to stumble over a root earlier, so running ahead of her was much less dangerous for her health and their still new friendship. As far as she could tell, Holly didn't have the same problem. She might be attracted to women, but either she was much better at ogling her without getting caught, or Leo wasn't her type. On the one hand, it was refreshing to be around a woman who couldn't care less about the way she looked. But on the other hand, it was tough on her ego.
"Forget your ego and just enjoy her company."
Leo lengthened her stride, taking advantage of her longer legs.
"The last one to the bridge buys the scones!"
They raced toward the bridge with Holly hot on her heels, gravel spraying left and right. By the time they reached the bridge, they were both gasping for breath. Leo didn't even have enough air left in her lungs to brag about winning the race. They leaned on the wooden railing next to each other. Holly's face was flushed from the exertion, and her short hair stuck to her head in damp strands, but she was grinning as if she was the one who'd won the race. Footsteps on the other end of the bridge made Leo straighten and look up. Ashley walked toward them, leading a golden retriever by a leash. Leo stifled a groan. Of all the people in Fair Oaks, they had to come across the person she least wanted to run into. Next to her, she felt Holly stiffen too, and Leo instinctively reached out to place her hand on the small of her back. As soon as her fingers touched the damp shirt, she became aware of what she was doing, but withdrawing her hand now would only call attention to it, so she left it where it was. When Ashley saw them, her steps faltered, but then she plastered a smile to her face.
"Out for a run?"
"No, we're going to the opera. That's why we're wearing running clothes."
Leo bit back the words and just nodded. The dog was wiggling its tail, whining and straining against its leash to get to Holly. When Holly bent to greet the dog, the contact between her back and Leo's hand was interrupted. Finally, she straightened and returned to Leo's side. Ash's gaze flicked back and forth between them.
"So you two are out for a run, like you just said,"
Holly finished the sentence with a too broad smile.
"Well then, I don't want to keep you. You could pull a muscle or something if you cool down."
Ashley tugged on the leash to get the dog away from Holly, and they continued on their way. Leo watched her walk away before turning back toward Holly.
"You know she thinks you and I are burning calories together in ways other than running, right?"
"Nah, I doubt she thinks that."
Leo gave her an incredulous look.
"Of course she does."
"Would that be a problem?
Holly asked.
Not for me, but what about you? The tabloids have been suspiciously quiet since I got here, but what if they start writing bullshit about me returning home for a little fling with a local woman?
Holly shrugged, and Leo had to ignore the way the movement made the damp shirt stretch across her breasts. Rumors about a hot affair with you could only help my reputation. I've been called a cold fish by some people.
Leo nearly choked on her own spit. Excuse me?
Holly was friendly and compassionate. Why the hell would anyone call her that?
Who said that?
Holly kicked at a piece of gravel, which landed in the creek with a plop.
You know what? Let's not spoil a perfectly nice evening by talking about them. I think I owe you a scone, so let's go get it.
She jogged across the bridge without waiting for a reply. Leo caught up with her.
Didn't Slice of Heaven close hours ago?
Yeah, but being friends with the owner has its advantages. I'm sure she's got a few left over for me.
They ran side by side for a while, neither of them saying anything else. When they reached the edge of the park, Leo held her back with a hand on her arm.
Just for the record, I think they're idiots.
Holly put her hand on top of Leo's for a moment and squeezed.
Thanks.
When they reached Slice of Heaven, the front door was locked and a closed sign dangled at eye level.
Looks like we won't be getting any scones.
Leo's stomach grumbled in disappointment. Holly peered through the glass, and after a second, Leo leaned forward and followed her example so that their heads were nearly touching. Even after their run, Holly smelled amazing. Leo tried to ignore it and turned her attention to the bakery. It was empty, and so was the display case. Holly knocked on the glass. It took a moment, but then footsteps approached, and someone unlocked the door. When it swung open, Sasha Peterson filled the doorway. Leo rarely had to look up at other women, but she remembered that Sasha, who had been 2 years behind her in school, had already been her height back then. The bandana Sasha wore instead of a baker's cap held back her braided hair and emphasized her strong features. When she saw Holly, a warm smile lit up her face and immediately made her look less intimidating.
Hey, let me guess. You were in the neighborhood and wondered if there were any scones left.
Something like that.
Holly hugged her without seeming to care about the chocolate streaks on her apron, and Leo marveled at the affectionate way she interacted with her friend. She sure as hell didn't have any friends like that. Air kisses and pats on the shoulder were much more common in her circles. Holly gestured toward Leo.
Sasha, you remember Leo?
Of course, come on in.
Sasha invited them into the bakery with a sweep of her arm. She seemed entirely unaffected by being in the presence of a celebrity, and Leo was grateful for that.
I saw you when you came in a couple of days ago. Sorry I didn't have time to chat.
Yeah, it looked busy.
Sasha has done really well for herself since she took over the bakery.
Pride colored Holly's voice.
Now if only I could get my aunt to stay out of the bakery and enjoy her well-deserved retirement.
Holly and Sasha laughed as if it were a running joke. Sasha led them into the back of the bakery, where a bread machine was whirring and several of the ovens were still running, heating up the room.
You're still working?
Holly raised her voice a little to be heard over the noise.
Just trying out a new recipe. Give me a second, then I'll get your scones.
Sasha put on oven mitts, pulled a sheet of what looked like chocolate cookies from the oven, and scooped them onto a cooling rack. The heat from the ovens tinged Holly's cheeks with an attractive flush as she leaned closer and stole a cookie. She blew on it and then took a bite.
Holly, those are...
Holly froze mid-chew. With a gulp, she swallowed the bite of cookie.
I don't know how to tell you, but you might want to rethink that recipe. I liked your usual espresso chocolate chip cookies much better.
Sasha laughed, a sound that filled the kitchen.
That's because they're not espresso chocolate chip cookies.
No?
Holly stared down at the other half of the cookie in her hand.
What are they?
I call them beagle bites.
Looking at Leo, Sasha added,
I want to branch out and offer treats for our four-legged friends, too.
You gave me dog treats?
The wide-eyed look on Holly's face made Leo join in Sasha's laughter.
gave you. You snatched it up before I could stop you.
Still laughing, Sasha handed her a bottle of water.
Don't worry, it's full of ingredients that are good for you.
Holly drank half of the water in one big gulp.
Will it make my hair all shiny?
If it does, let me know, and I'll sell them as the latest health food to my human customers. All right, let me get you the scones.
When Sasha left the room, the kitchen seemed much larger. Holly made a face and emptied her water bottle. Leo leaned against the counter and watched her with a smile.
What?
Holly asked.
Nothing.
Leo reined in her grin.
Here you go.
Sasha returned and handed over a paper bag.
What do we owe you?
Leo pulled out the $10 bill she kept tucked into the pocket of her running shorts. Sasha shook her head.
Nothing. A friend of Holly's is a friend of mine.
Being called Holly's friend warmed Leo more than the residual heat from the oven. Usually, Leo hesitated to accept gifts because in her experience they always came with strings attached, but Sasha's brown eyes didn't seem to hide anything. She put the money back into her pocket.
Thank you.
When they stepped back out onto the street, the air seemed cool in comparison, and Leo shivered a little. She nodded back toward the bakery.
She seems like a good friend.
Yes, Holly said. I'm lucky like that.
Leo marveled at how happy Holly was with what she had. She seemed to already have figured out who she was and what she wanted from life.
Unlike me.
Maybe it was part of why Leo enjoyed being around her so much. It had a grounding effect on her. Holly handed her one of the scones.
Come on, let's head back before your mother reports us missing.
Their steps were perfectly aligned as they strolled through the park, scones in hand. The setting sun bathed Leo's face in an orange glow that softened her usually guarded expression. Or maybe she was more relaxed now that it was just the two of them, away from her parents' house. Whatever it was, Holly enjoyed that new, at-peace expression on Leo's face. It made her look even more stunning.
You know,
Holly said as they stopped on the bridge to enjoy the way the sun shimmered on the water.
Getting scones after going for a run kinda defeats the purpose.
Leo grinned over at her.
Does that mean you don't want your scone and I can have the rest?
Nope.
Holly took a big bite of her scone. They sprinkled crumbs into the creek and watched small fish snatch them up. The ringing of Leo's cell phone interrupted the peaceful silence. With a grin, Holly realized that Leo was using an Aretha Franklin song as a ringtone, too, just that it was Call Me instead of Holly's choice of A Natural Woman. Grumbling under her breath, Leo fumbled the phone from the waistband of her running shorts. Holly didn't want to listen in, especially since she knew how sensitive Leo was about any violation of her privacy, but as she started to walk away, Leo put her free hand on her arm and nodded at her to stay. That show of trust warmed Holly as much as the rays of the setting sun.
Hey, Saul,
Leo said into the cell phone.
Yes, I know. Well, tell them I'm working on material for a new album. That should keep them off your back for a while.
She ran her free hand through her hair while she listened to the reply.
Yeah, kind of. You know creativity can't be forced or hurried along.
She let out an aggravated sigh.
Don't you think I know that? You've told me that a million... Jesus, Saul, give me a break. Sometimes you and the label really seem to think I have the IQ of a coconut.
The corners of Holly's mouth twitched, but she quickly hid it, not wanting to annoy or hurt Leo. The way she sounded, whatever was going on wasn't a laughing matter for her.
What? Saul, you're breaking up. I'll call you when I've got something for you.
She hung up without saying goodbye and hurled the rest of her scone into the creek, looking as if she would have rather thrown in the phone instead. They watched the piece of scone drift downstream. It bobbed up and down a few times before either dissolving or being dragged down by fish. The peaceful expression on Leo's face was gone.
You sounded pretty upset,
Holly said quietly.
Is there anything I can do to help?
No, unless you have a second job as an assassin.
Holly rubbed her chin as if considering it.
Maybe I should. It certainly would pay better than nursing. Who's the person you want me to off?
My manager.
Leo leaned both elbows on the railing and stared into the water.
He hates me dropping off the grid.
But he knows where you are, right? That's not exactly dropping off the grid.
I'll try telling him that. He wants me in a recording studio in New York, not in bumfuck Missouri.
When Holly winced, Leo added,
His words, not mine. The only reason he hasn't dragged me back is because I told him I'm working on new songs while I'm here.
Are you? Holly asked, even though she already guessed the answer. As far as she could tell, Leo hadn't opened her guitar case since she'd been home, and she had only played the piano once. A crooked smile flashed across Leo's face.
Well, yeah, if you count Scone Woman.
Holly couldn't help chuckling. I can't really see that going platinum.
Probably not.
Leo sighed.
And that's all my manager and the label seem to care about these days, how much money they can make with my music.
How about you? What do you care about? Leo kicked a pebble into the creek. A school of fish swam over, obviously hoping for more scone crumbs. When they found their hopes disappointed, they quickly scattered.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I know that anymore.
Holly turned to face her and leaned one hip against the bridge's railing. Instead of peppering Leo with more questions, she waited, because she sensed that Leo needed to work through her thoughts in her own time.
In the beginning, everything was great. I finally had what I always wanted. Being up on stage, having the fans go crazy over my music. It was electrifying.
She grinned a little.
Better than sex.
That's not hard to top, Holly murmured under her breath. When Leo sent her a questioning look, she shook her head. Nothing. So what changed?
I think I got swept up in everything. The fame, the money, the fans shouting my name.
Leo half turned too, so that they were facing each other.
But after a while, I started to feel like I was losing my music. Losing myself.
But you're still writing your own music, aren't you?
In theory.
Leo wrapped her arms around herself as if she were getting cold.
But in reality, my songwriters do it for me because I no longer have the time to compose. The more popular I became, the more time the promotion part of my career took up.
Holly hesitated. She was a small-town nurse, so giving advice to a superstar felt strange, but she wanted to help, so she forged ahead. I don't know a thing about the music industry, so please tell me if I'm totally off, but can't you cancel a few interviews and instead have time to write new songs?
Yeah, maybe. But it's not just that. Saul, my manager, thinks I'm better off sticking to singing and leaving the songwriting to someone else. According to him, he knows exactly what my fans want.
Which is? Holly asked.
Basically, his concept is sex sells, pretty much like every other pop singer. So I'm stuck working out, shooting sexy music videos, and practicing provocative dance routines every day, while my songwriters crank out one song after another about breaking up and making up.
I might not be a good representative of your fan base, but you know what I think about that?
What?
Leo asked. Holly pretended to stick her finger down her throat and made gagging sounds. Laughter burst from Leo, chasing away the shadows on her face. Holly smiled in reflex. It felt unexpectedly nice to be able to cheer her up.
Thanks. I really needed that.
They crossed the bridge and moved back the way they had come, this time walking, not running.
What about you?
Leo asked after a while.
Are you happy with your job?
Holly nodded without hesitation. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to do anything else.
Really?
Leo arched her eyebrows.
With patients like my father, it can't be easy. Wouldn't you rather work in a hospital where there are other nurses who can help out?
I worked in a hospital for 2 years. Trust me, home health care is a much better fit for me. I don't have to hurry from patient to patient. I can take my time getting to know the needs of just one or a few and really establish a relationship with them.
But doesn't that make it much harder when one of them, well, dies?
Leo asked. Holly blew out a breath through her nose. Yeah, it does. But I think it's worth it. It's incredibly rewarding to know that I'm making a difference for someone, allowing them to be in their own home instead of a hospital.
Leo reached out and lightly brushed her forearm with her hand, making tingles scatter across Holly's skin.
For what it's worth, I think you're really making a difference for my dad. I couldn't do for him what you're doing.
The praise made Holly's cheeks heat.
Thank you.
Leo sighed.
In comparison, it makes my job seem even more meaningless. I haven't admitted it to anyone, not even to myself, but maybe my father is right.
Right about what? Holly asked.
About me having sold out. That woman up on stage, that's not me. I'm just going through the motions and playing the part. It's gotten to the point where I don't even want to pick up my guitar anymore.
Why don't you go back to the roots then? Make it just about you and the music again.
Holly remembered hearing her play at school events and summer festivals 15 years ago, just Leo and her guitar. The experience had left her with goosebumps.
Leo shook her head.
It's not that easy.
No, I guess it isn't.
They walked side by side without speaking for a while. When they turned onto Jefferson Street, Leo asked,
Are you on baby monitor duty tonight?
No, it's your mother's turn.
Oh.
Leo marched a little faster up the street so Holly couldn't see her expression anymore. She sped up too. Was that disappointment in Leo's voice? A smile stole onto Holly's face.
Did you want to do something tonight?
No, that's fine. Well, I could have kept you company, but of course you don't want to hang around on your night off. You probably have plans.
Yep, Leo was definitely disappointed, and not hiding it very well. She was nearly pouting.
God, she's cute.
Holly's steps faltered.
Stop it. You've never been one for celebrity crushes, and you certainly won't start now.
But deep down, she knew it wasn't Jenna Blake she admired. It was Leo.
Yeah, I've got something special planned for tonight.
Have fun, then,
Leo said in a carefully neutral tone. She took two more steps before peeking back at Holly.
Hot date?
Holly gave her a mysterious smile.
Something like that. Wanna come?
Leo stopped at the corner of the street where she had to go right while Holly needed to turn left.
You want me to tag along on your date?
You'll see. I'll pick you up in an hour.
Holly started to jog down the street. Leo's gaze on her back was as intense as the setting sun. Without turning her head, she shouted back toward her,
Make sure to wear something you don't mind getting slobber on.
Slobber?
Leo called back.
Who the hell are you dating?
Holly just laughed and waved. She was already looking forward to introducing Leo to her date. Or rather, to her dates. Plural.
Don't I get a hint?
Leo asked for the third time since Holly had picked her up.
Quit whining. No hints.
Holly waved at a couple that had just left the gas station at the edge of town and then turned right onto the highway. When they passed the Hy-Vee supermarket, Leo finally started to suspect where they were going.
Ah, you're taking me to the Maple Street Deli for a burger?
Her mouth watered.
Is that why you mentioned drooling?
Holly laughed.
No.
Damn,
Leo muttered.
I could have gone for a double bacon cheeseburger now that my nutritionist and my personal trainer aren't watching my every move.
Geez, that has to be hard.
It's not the fun part of fame, that's for sure, but, well, sex sells, or so my manager says, so I have to stay in shape.
Leo patted her belly.
But that doesn't stop me from craving a burger.
If you want, we can get one before we head home. But for now, I've got something else in mind.
What is it?
You'll see in a second.
Holly pulled onto a narrow gravel road next to the deli and parked in front of a one-story building with a sign that said, Small Animal Clinic. She turned off the engine and made a ta-da motion with her hand.
That's Beth's clinic. Isn't it a little too soon in our relationship to introduce me to your mother?
Holly blinked.
What? No,
She growled and backhanded Leo's shoulder.
It had been some time since Leo had last experienced an interaction like this. Everyone else walked around her as if on eggshells, as if she were fragile or needed to be revered. She liked the way Holly treated her, like an equal, not a celebrity.
"You already know my mother," Holly said. "Besides, she probably went home hours ago."
"What are we here for, then?"
"My, my, aren't we impatient?"
Holly unbuckled her seatbelt and got out of the Jeep.
"Come with me and find out."
Leo followed her. Holly unlocked the door to the vet's office and held it open for her.
"You've got a key?"
Leo asked as she squeezed past her.
"I sometimes help out by checking on the animals in the holding area or cleaning the kennel in the back."
Their steps echoed on the tiled floor. Without any pets or people around, the reception area seemed strangely empty, despite the racks of pet food, flea collars, and dog shampoos.
"I've got to tell you, you've got strange ideas of a fun evening," Leo said. "Must be because you've lived in Fair Oaks for too long."
Holly bumped her with one hip.
"Let's see if you'll still say that in a minute."
She led her toward the back of the building.
This question might come a little late, but you're not allergic, are you?"
"Allergic to what?"
"To them."
Holly opened a door and motioned at something at the other end of the room.
A low whine greeted them as they entered.
Cages were stacked along one wall, but what drew Leo's attention was a large wooden box that took up one corner of the room. A blanket was spread out in the box, and on it, a yellow lab lay on its side, nursing a bunch of squirming, whining puppies. Leo's heart melted.
"Puppies!"
"Look more closely,"
Holly whispered so as not to disturb them, and guided her closer with one hand on Leo's back. The warm touch distracted her, so it took her several moments to make out what Holly was trying to show her. 5 of the fur babies were indeed Labrador retrievers, 3 yellow and 2 chocolate ones, but mixed in between them were 3 tiny kittens, nursing along with the puppies. All of them were well-nourished, with fuzzy little pot bellies.
"Oh my God, that's incredible. Where's the mama cat?"
"We don't know. Tom Gaines found the kittens in his barn, abandoned and nearly starved, so he brought them in. We were hoping the animal shelter might have a nursing cat who would adopt them, but Happy here took one look at them and decided they were hers."
"Happy?"
Leo raised one brow. Holly pointed at the mama dog, who looked pretty happy indeed, tongue lolling out of her mouth in a doggy grin and her tail thumping against the side of the box.
"She had to have a C-section, that's why she's here. She and her pups will probably go home soon."
"And the kittens?"
"They'll go with her until they're old enough so we can find new homes for them."
As Leo watched, the dog ducked her head down and licked their furry butts, cleaning puppies and kittens alike.
"Amazing. She adopted them just like that?"
"Yeah. I don't know if she thinks they're strange little dogs, or maybe she doesn't care what they are at all."
Leo sighed.
"Wouldn't it be nice if humans were like that, too?"
A wistful smile curved Holly's lips.
"Yeah."
They looked at each other, and a silent understanding passed between them. One of the puppies stopped nursing, wriggled out from beneath the pile of its siblings, and tottered toward them on its 2 big puppy paws. One of the kittens followed its canine littermate. Their mother gave an anxious whine, but Holly produced a doggy treat from somewhere and petted her until she settled back down and continued to nurse. The puppy tumbled over the low edge of the wooden box and skidded to a stop at Leo's feet. Leo bent down, then hesitated and peeked over at Holly.
"May I?"
"Go ahead. I didn't bring you just to look at them."
Not caring how cold the floor was, Leo settled down on it and held out her hand to the puppy. It yipped once, sniffed her, and then proceeded to lick her hand. Laughing, she scratched behind its velvety soft ears with one finger. When the puppy settled down along her leg and started gnawing on the laces of her sneaker, leaving her other hand free, she picked up the kitten. It let out a squeak of a meow that made them laugh. Leo cradled the kitten in both hands and touched her nose to the cat's. Its tiny whiskers quivered, tickling her and making her smile. She buried her face in its fur, which was soft and warm. Her eyes fluttered closed. She felt Holly's gaze on her, but for once she wasn't afraid to let her guard down. Not when it was just her and Holly, surrounded by a pile of puppies and kittens. She felt and heard Holly settle on the floor next to her.
"Mine," Leo mumbled without moving her face away from the little fuzzball. "Get your own kitten."
Holly's laughter mingled with the soft purring of the tiny cat. Leo's smile felt as if it were about to split her face.
"All right," she murmured into the kitten's fur. "I admit, this is much better than a burger."
"Even better than a double bacon cheeseburger?"
Holly reached over to pet the kitten, too. The brush of their fingers against each other set off a sensual enjoyment of another kind. Leo opened her eyes.
"Yeah."
Her voice came out a little raspy, so she stopped and cleared her throat before adding,
"Way better."
She cradled the kitten against her chest.
"Right, kitten?"
As if in response, the tiny cat began to knead against her chest.
"Ouch!"
Apparently, kittens at that age already had claws, and they were needle sharp.
"Oh, careful there, that's my boob."
She tried to move the kitten away from her chest, but its claws were tangled in the fabric of her t-shirt. Holly reached over and helped free the kitten's paw. In the process, her fingers brushed the side of Leo's breast. A shiver raced through her, and her nipple instantly hardened. She lifted the kitten to provide some strategic cover and struggled to calm her breathing. When she peeked over at Holly, she didn't seem to have noticed the accidental touch, but Leo's breast was still tingling. They sat so close together on the floor that their legs touched all along their lengths.
"Ready to go?"
Holly asked after a while.
"No."
Leo wasn't ready to have this experience end so soon, and it wasn't just because of the kittens and puppies. Holly chuckled and picked up another puppy that toddled over to them.
"Then let's stay a little longer."
As they left the Maple Street deli and got back into the Jeep, Holly peered over at Leo, who had chatted about the kittens and puppies pretty much nonstop since they'd left the vet's office. She still had the broadest grin on her face that Holly had ever seen. Her sneakers were covered in dog slobber, and cat hair was stuck to her t-shirt, but to Holly, she was even more beautiful than she was in her music videos. This wasn't the reserved woman who had arrived in Fair Oaks 2 weeks ago, or the famous singer she had seen on TV. She liked this side of Leo. Getting to see the puppies and kittens was always a highlight of her day, but sharing it with Leo had been extra special.
"I don't know which one was more fun, the puppy or the kitten," Leo said as Holly steered them back onto the highway.
"Why choose?"
"Right, they were both lethally cute."
Now more pensive, Leo stared through the windshield.
"You know, with all the cities I've been to all over the world and everything I've seen, can you believe I've never petted a puppy or a kitten?"
"Never?"
Holly echoed.
"Didn't you have a pet growing up?"
"No, never. I always wanted one, but my father thought it would distract me from practicing."
"Practicing?"
"Playing the piano and the violin," Leo said.
Gil had denied her the experience of growing up with a pet so she could spend more time practicing his preferred instruments.
God.
Holly was starting to resent him a little. And that wasn't good. He was her patient, after all. She was responsible for his well-being, not Leo's. But she couldn't help it.
"Well, you could get one now," she finally said. "In 5 or 6 weeks, Happy's puppies and kittens will be old enough to go to new homes."
Leo brushed a few cat hairs off her shirt and watched them swirl through the interior of the Jeep.
"I'll be back in New York by then. Besides, with me traveling for concerts and interviews all the time, it wouldn't be fair to the poor animal."
Both were silent for the rest of the ride, their good mood dampened. When Leo had first arrived in Fair Oaks, Holly couldn't wait to have her leave again. But now she hated the reminder that Leo wasn't here to stay. She would miss having someone to talk to and share scones with. Sure, she had other friends in town, but somehow, spending time with Leo was different. All too soon, she stopped the Jeep in front of Gil and Sharon's house and turned off the engine. Instead of getting out immediately, Leo kept staring through the windshield. Finally, she turned her head, and a hint of the carefree smile from earlier flashed across her face.
Thank you for getting me a burger, and especially for taking me to see the puppies and kittens. It wasn't what I was expecting when you picked me up, but it has my usual dates beaten by a mile.
Holly started to smile, but then the full meaning of Leo's words hit home.
Wait a minute. Usual dates.
Did that mean Leo considered their little adventure a date? She knew she should speak up and tell her that it wasn't, that she wasn't into dating, just in case Leo might be thinking in that direction. That was how she had handled her friendships with women during the past few years, and she had found that drawing clear boundaries was always better in the long run. Then why was she just sitting behind the wheel, gaping like a catfish? Before she could make her vocal cords work, Leo said goodnight and got out of the Jeep. Only the banging of the car door jarred Holly out of her frozen state.
Leo, wait!
But Leo apparently didn't hear her. She was already walking toward the house, her long legs quickly widening the distance between them. Holly let her forehead sink onto the steering wheel, closed her eyes, and let out a long groan.
Chapter 10. Once again, Leo lay in bed and listened to the concert of the crickets drifting in through the closed window. Staring at her childhood posters was starting to become a habit, but this time it wasn't brooding thoughts about her father or her career that kept her awake. She kept reliving every second of her evening with Holly, especially the smiles and the little touches, Holly's hand on the small of her back, guiding her into the room with the puppies and kittens, the brush of their fingers, the warmth of Holly's leg against hers, the accidental touch of her breast. Each contact had set off instant tingles all over her body. There was no denying it. She was attracted to Holly, and it wasn't just a physical thing. Admittedly, she also liked the mischievous twinkle in Holly's eyes, her genuine warmth, and the fact that she didn't let Leo get away with anything. Even the fact that Holly didn't seem to want anything from her, not her money, her connections, and not even her body, was part of her appeal. But had she meant what she had said earlier in the Jeep? She had thrown out the comment about her usual dates without thinking. So far, she hadn't consciously considered it. Holly lived in Fair Oaks, after all, the town Leo wanted to get away from, and Leo had no time for a relationship anyway.
Relationship? Whoa!
How had she gone from one possible date to a bona fide relationship? She really was getting ahead of herself. Maybe she should take it one day at a time. One date wasn't a marriage proposal, even in small-town Missouri. Holly's brothers would hardly get out their shotgun and drag her to church because she went out with their sister once or twice. It was just a pleasant way to while away the time during her stay in Fair Oaks. Nothing more, nothing less, right?
Right.
She nodded into the darkness. That was decided, then. She would ask Holly out to dinner, nothing to it. But then why could she still not settle her chaotic thoughts enough to sleep? A few days later, on Monday afternoon, they went out for another run together, although, admittedly, there wasn't that much running involved. Holly leaned back on her elbows. The flat rock beneath her was still warm from the heat of the day, and the relaxing murmur of the creek lulled her into a peaceful trance. Despite her not always easy job, this summer was starting to feel like the endless summers of her childhood, when there had been no responsibilities and no pressures, and a new adventure had waited around every corner. The only difference was that this time, she wasn't spending her summer alone or tagging along after her brothers. She peeked at Leo, who was reclining next to her. She had kicked off her shoes and socks and dangled her feet in the creek. Every now and then she wiggled her toes or lazily waved her hand to chase off the bees buzzing around her ice cream. She was starting to get a nice tan from spending more time in the sun than she had in years, and the highlights in her wind-blown hair were real, no longer out of a bottle. It looked really good on her, Holly decided. Something cold trickled onto Holly's fingers. She jerked her attention away from Leo and back to her own ice cream cone, which hung forgotten in her grip. Quickly, she licked the melted chocolate off her fingers.
You know, Leo said without opening her eyes, you're a really bad influence.
Me?
Yeah, you. First, you get me addicted to the scones, now you buy me ice cream. My manager, my personal trainer, and my nutritionist will hate you.
Holly shrugged and took another lick of her ice cream.
They're not here now, are they?
No, they're not. It's just the two of us.
There was something in Leo's tone.